This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 186. Why online IELTS practice tests give you the wrong score. Dun, dun, dun.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show. Today, find out why all practice tests are not created equal and get the right questions to ask before you make your purchase. The fastest, smartest, and most affordable way to reach your target score is to use strategies that actually work. Our insider method strategies work because we have students who have achieved a 7 or higher using these strategies. You can do it too when you go to allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Go there now and get started with our free 3-video series. See you at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. What's going on in Portland, Jessica?
Oh my God, it's gorgeous today. It is like a beautiful day here. It rained for 25 straight days.
Oh my
God.
And
now it's like just crisp and sunny and just lovely. So wow. Nice. What about Boston? Are you still in like shorts and t-shirts?
No, now it's gotten cold. We had a big storm yesterday, but on Christmas Eve day, it was like 68 degrees. It was insane. Oh my God. It was so weird. It was so weird. Ugh. Gross.
That is not a Christmas feeling. That is
no.
Like you have to be cold on Christmas. It actually snowed in Portland.
Really?
The day after Christmas. Yeah. I was like doing a whole bunch of work and I wasn't looking outside. And then all of a sudden I opened the blinds and I was like, wait, huh? What?
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's so not pretty. Common for Portland, huh? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no. Lovely.
Crazy weather swings here, right? Like around here, probably next week it'll be back in the 70s again. Who knows? I mean,
I know,
you just
right?
don't know what to expect with this crazy
weather.
Well,
you guys got like 5 years of snow in one winter last year.
Yeah,
so. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. We got enough until 2020. We're all set for the snow.
You're good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So we are talking about listening practice today. We got a really good question from a student in our course.
Yeah, we got a question from a student in our course in our private closed Facebook group, but we're actually going to share this with you guys today because we thought this would apply to everyone taking the IELTS
Definitely.
Exam. So I'm going to go ahead and just read the question, okay? And then we're going to talk about our answer to the question based on our advice here. All right.
Cool.
So are you ready for the question, Jessica?
So ready!
All right. On the edge of your seat, ready?
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Like, my palms are sweaty.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited about this question.
Say the question. Okay. Here's the question. Our student says, hello, everyone. I've been using listening practice tests to check my band score and improvement, but I realized that there are different tests in regards to difficulty. For now, I've done 8 listening tests, 2 from Road to IELTS and 6 from IELTS blog, and I found out the first one is much easier. For instance, I'm scoring 30 to 34 marks on tests provided by Road to IELTS. On the other hand, I'm scoring 21 to 25 on tests provided by IELTS blog.
That's a huge difference.
So say that again.
That's a huge difference.
So that's what he's saying here. This is representing a tremendous difference, which is what he said. So his question is, which one matches the real exam? And his second question is IELTS blog trying to give us harder tests so we would be better prepared for the real one? And are there any other sources that I can rely on aside from these two? Awesome question.
That's a really good question. I feel like what's happening there is the easier one that he's scoring higher on would be the difficulty of sections 1 and 2, but then like never reaching the difficulty of section 4. Whereas the other one that's really hard, I think he's right. I think sometimes material writers do produce tests that are more difficult than the actual test, just to challenge you and sort of wake some students up and be like, look, this isn't easy. Like, look at how low your scores are. You need to practice more. That has a time and place too. And I've done that to students as well, just to be like, look, you don't know everything. Okay.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, just like, listen to me some more.
Yeah. I think it's good to get a little wake up call. You know, it's better it's almost better to score a little bit lower than to score higher. I think. I mean,
totally.
I would think. What do you think, Jessica?
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. So let's answer these questions. I mean, which one of these is closer to the real exam? How do we answer this question for our student?
I mean, the variation is so big. The difference in scores is so big that if I were him, I would just take the average of both, really, and then say, like, that's close to what I would get on the test. I think that's the safest way to look at that, because as a student, I mean, even as a teacher, if you've never been a materials writer, it's really hard to look at material and judge it like that. And like, as a student, that's impossible. Like, you don't know how hard it is on the test.
That's right.
So if it is such a huge difference like that, don't lose your confidence. Take the average. But I would say if you do see a huge difference like that, stop using those tests. If it's impossible for them to give you valid feedback, don't use them. I have written 14, 16 textbooks by now. So like, I'm well practiced in trying to match level, and it's really hard. I wrote the practice tests for our course, I looked at all the Cambridge practice test books, books 1 to 10, because those are the closest to the real test you're going to get. The Cambridge practice test books, those are the scores you can trust. Okay. So definitely use that as your test practice resource. But in my process for writing our own practice tests, I made sure to, and I do this for all of my textbooks, I made sure to research thoroughly and take tons of notes on what sort of language was used, how difficult the synonyms and parallel expressions are in the question and the answer and the dialogue. You know, like, there's so much to think about.
Wow.
That if you, it's easy to bluff and be like, oh, no, I can write a test. That's no problem.
Right.
And I think that's what people do, especially with online resources, because there aren't any checks and balances, right? Like,
that's a good point.
Yeah. So
this is a real skill set, right, Jessica? And this is beyond just teaching. It's not teaching.
Exactly.
It's materials writing, and it's a skill set that you clearly have. I mean, you've done a lot of this, and there's a lot that goes into it that we wouldn't even know if we're just teachers.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of teachers I know, they don't even like the material creation side of stuff. There's, you know, it's like an active and passive type thing. Neither are passive, but you know what I mean? Like, there's the performance side, and then there's like the quiet behind the scenes side.
Right.
Luckily I love both. So that's really awesome.
That's good.
For me. Especially because a lot of times when I am creating materials before I publish anything, I test it out with my class to make sure it works. You know, like, give it a test run before I actually give it to anybody else and say, this is good. Like, how am I going to know if it's good? So, unless you could go onto the site and see who is creating this material, there's no way you can know if it's valid as a student.
Yeah.
Like, that's impossible. But in our course, for example, you know me, like, you know who I am my experience, and you could see the level of dedication and the level of preparation that I put into all these materials. What I really like about courses like ours is that it has one professional voice, you know, everything is linked. So things that I teach in our videos that are then practiced in the worksheets that are then reviewed, these are the things that you're going to see on the practice test, because I know that these are the things you'll see in the real exam as well. So it's all linked, and it's all practiced so much that it becomes natural.
Yeah, there's a thread throughout all the materials, right? Yeah. A consistent thread. I love that. I love, so it feels more cohesive and that we can actually come to an end result and it all makes sense. So we're not confused. We're not going into the test confused and scattered in our minds.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and anybody that's taken a, like a TESOL course or any sort of teacher training courses, they know the word scaffolding. That's like this, this big, you know, motto of how to, how to teach students. So scaffolding, because our students aren't teachers, explain it. Scaffolding is when you teach one skill and then you build on that by repeating the skill and adding, and then repeating those skills and adding to those. So if you are trying to use various resources online, you're not getting the scaffolding because you're not building on anything. You're not repeating any of this information. So you're not actually getting the full benefit of learning it. If you just see something once or practice it once, you're not going to remember it. Like it's not going to fit into any context in your head. Whereas if you're being taught in a course that scaffolds, these skills are stuck in your head because they're just built upon and added to and not forgotten.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Oh, it could really contribute to our confidence level going into the exam. You know, we come out and we feel like, yeah, we understand the skills because we know the context of what we learned.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And some of these IELTS practice tests I see online, I'm like, that question type doesn't even exist on the real IELTS test. Like, I think some people just, they think about whatever English test they take and it's all, you know, whatever, like multiple choice and sentence completion. I think those are the, you know, the most common sort of question types, but then you don't even get the really hard ones like yes, no, not given. And those questions are tough to write, man. And I know our students, they're really tough to answer. So let me assure you, they're not easy to create either. They're really hard. So if you're not using the correct source for your practice, I mean, you're not even going to learn about these most difficult question types.
Yeah.
Ugh, such a waste of time.
Rodrigo, Pedro, Renata, and Florianne are just a few of our successful students who have achieved target scores of 7 or higher using the 3 Keys IELTS success strategies. Go right now to allearsenglish.com/INSIDER to get started with our free 3 video series to get on the right path to achieve your target score in 2016. Now is the time to reach your dream life by passing the IELTS. Go to allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. See you there. I like that. So then our recommendations for our listeners would be, first of all, to be in our course for sure, because Jessica has written not only the practice test, but you've done all the video lectures, and there is that cohesive thread that we've just talked about throughout the entire course and all the materials. So you will feel confident. And number two, as you said, Jessica, the Cambridge practice tests are pretty valid, right?
Exactly, exactly. But do not jump into those practice tests if you haven't actually learned any test strategies yet.
Oh,
because then your scores will suck and then you'll feel bad and then it's the world is ending. So don't jump into the tests yet. It goes back to scaffolding, right? In our course, like you have to learn all the skills and strategies and follow the study plan to improve your English level, because we have to do that also. You have to have a high level of English. You have to do all of this work first before you can actually get a high score, before you could jump into test practice and have it truly reflect what you'll get on the exam. And, you know, we've had a lot of students go through our course already. And the feedback on the practice tests has been great. There's been no questions like this student about these other practice tests. Like I haven't had anybody come to me or you and be like, oh my God, like my scores on the first practice test were 20 and the second practice test was 40. What's wrong with it? Like they're consistent, they're valid, and they do segue immediately into what you'll see on the exam. Like it's, you know, not only did I research go through all the practice tests for all the Cambridge books, but I mean, I see the real test all the time. So I know what to expect on it.
Yeah. No, and that's huge. And part of the reason that our students are probably having they're doing well with our practice tests is they've gone through our course. By the time they get to the practice test, they've learned the strategies. And so it's all coming through and creating this sense of confidence that's just unshakable. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, I love it. Exactly. So
excellent.
Definitely. I mean, even if it's not our course, like you have to find a cohesive course that's created by a central voice. Be careful of these courses that have, like multiple authors and multiple sources because each of them are going to have a different voice too, right? And maybe one person is very correct and strong in one direction and then the other author is not. And then the editor is just going to kind of take the average of both of them. You know what I mean?
Like that's a good point.
Yeah. So even with these courses by these big name publishers and stuff, like the editor of the course isn't an IELTS professional, right? Like they're just taking this material that's given to them and being like, oh, well, this looks too hard. This looks too easy. Let's just meet in the middle or something.
No. So maybe we need to add that to our article. I think we did a blog article about how to choose the right IELTS course. Maybe there's a question that our listeners should ask if they're going to choose a course. You know, who created this course? Like how many voices are going into this course?
That's a good question. Yeah. I know. I never really thought about it from that perspective before, but it's true. I've only worked on some collaborative projects and it's really hard working with other authors. Everybody has their own ideas and it doesn't come out to be the strongest that you can. If it's one author working with one editor that knows that voice intimately, right? And can know how to trust it and where that person is coming from, then, and like what tendencies that author has, that partnership is necessary to produce great material. But if you have like two, what is the saying? Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Right. That sounds about right. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many cooks in the kitchen spoil the broth. Is that what it is?
Broth
or set the place on fire, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. Something like that.
Something like that. No, it's true. I mean, so it just makes sense. So guys, so be ready to ask these deeper questions. You have to be critical with where you're spending your money, right? Mm-hmm. Good IELTS courses are not going to be free. And you want to ask the right questions before you go and you put money down on something like this. Because this is your future that we're talking about here.
Exactly, you guys. Just, research where the material is coming from first. And just because the website has the word IELTS in the title, it does not mean that it's valid. It's no indication at all. You have to research. And if there's nothing on the site about who wrote the material, that's also something to question because I'm very proud of what I've done and I want to put my biography and my name on everything. I want you to know that it's from me because I'm proud of it and I know it works. But if you're looking on the site and you're like, who did this? Like they don't even tell me. I think that's a bad sign.
That's a good point. If someone's just hiding behind the internet, essentially, and they're not putting their name on things or their photo on things, then that means that there might be something wrong with the material.
Exactly. So just question what you're seeing.
It's huge. Question everything.
I like that.
That's like, isn't that an X-Files thing?
Question. It could be, but
everything. Yeah, something. Yeah, anyway. Maybe.
Anyways, X-Files, so 90s. That show's not on anymore, right? That's off the air now.
But it's coming back this year.
Oh my God. Is it really? Mulder and Scully? Is that what it was? Mulder.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I love that show so much, of course.
That's awesome. Well, I'll have to find that on TV. Very good. Well, Jessica, this has been good. It's been really interesting to hear this angle of things, right? Because I don't think our listeners ever have a chance to think about this. Like, who creates the practice test? You know, it's not always a sure bet that you're getting the right quality practice test. So another thing to think about. Really good food for thought here.
Exactly.
Healthy and delicious.
Healthy and delicious. No. I love it.
All right, cool. I will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a good day.
All right, cool. You too, Lindsay. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.